serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, dedicating our hour this week to Don Stratton, whose body was returned to his native Red Cloud, Nebraska this week after a 400-mile funeral procession from Colorado Springs. If you've read his best-selling book, All the Gallant Men, you know a little about the burden he carried for decades after the attack on Pearl Harbor. Not just the physical and emotional scars, but one thing that became very clear to me when I visited his home in Colorado Springs, the responsibility he felt in keeping the memory of his shipmates alive. Every day, for decades, he would receive mail from all over the world. Questions about Pearl Harbor, requests for autographs. Those tragic events of December 7th, 1941 affected every day the rest of his life. And he made sure to turn that disastrous day into perspective for the rest of us and vigilance for our country. I asked Don in 2017 how often he had to face the visions, the memories, the haunting reality of the USS Arizona's final moments.
Sometimes it comes quite often, but it's kind of like old hat now. It's been so many years. I think about the casualties a lot, but nothing I can do about that. The good Lord already taken care of that.
Are you planning someday to have your remains there with your shipmates?
No, I'm not, because like I told Danny Martinez, that's an overseer of the Pearl Harbor Memorial there, I said, I'm not going to be buried on the ship because I've already been cremated once. And
do you raise some eyebrows with that already been cremated once line?
Well, some people just kind of say, well, yeah, I guess, maybe, you know, so.
Well, there's some truth to it there, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've probably been asked this before, and maybe it's a hard one to answer. But in those 1,177 from your ship who didn't make it through December 7th, I'm sure you knew quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever wondered about what their lives would have been like?
Well, it's not for my decision to be look like that. I mean, I'm here on from the sake of the good Lord and whatever, and the casualties are casualties, and there's nothing you can do about it.
You have quite a display here, right next to us, a beautiful scale model of your ship. You can point out exactly where you were that morning of December 7th. You've got your medals on the wall, including the Purple Heart, the campaign ribbons that you earned on the stack after that. You've got a cross made out of the rusted superstructure of your ship, the Arizona. Is there any of those that maybe means the most to you or is the most powerful for you when you walk past and look at it?
No, it's just something that's happened in my lifetime, several things.
What keeps you going?
Well, you don't think about much of anything. You think maybe about a little bit about tomorrow, what's going to happen and whatever, but you're here and you have to put up with it, so there's nothing you can do about it.
For that year that you're sitting in the hospital and they've got you under the lamp and these skin grafts are healing up and this body that was almost extinguished is coming back to life, did you imagine that you were going to have a wife, have children, grandchildren, have the career you have?
I probably never even thought about that at that time. I was only 19 years old and I was pretty well hurt and just wanted to get well and get on with my life, and that finally happened.
What did you think about during those days? Was there something that maybe gave you hope?
Oh, I can tell. You think about what's happening tomorrow or what's happening if I go on liberty or what's happened to this and that, but it's just an ordinary lifetime.
I don't think anyone would describe your life as ordinary.
Well, like I said, everybody's got to be someplace.
Have you ever encountered someone else who went through what you went through, was injured to the extent that you were, and got back in the service?
Not that I can really recall, but there was a lot of people in the hospital the same time I was there, so maybe their lifetime is halfway a story what mine was like, but that doesn't affect my lifetime right now. I'm doing pretty well, and I'm very thankful to be here, so that's the way it goes.
Well, I'm thankful that you're here and that you've told your story and that you're kind enough to share some of it with me and with our listeners here. You've mentioned the good Lord quite a few times here. How real is that for you? Are there times where you really felt there was a divine presence or intervention?
Well, I think that's in everybody's mind, and what's happening with the good Lord and God, and what our life would be like without Him, and live according to what you think that's really happening. So some divine power has got a lot to do with a lot of things that happen to people and don't happen, and so you live with it, or just an ordinary lifetime, as far as I'm concerned.
Sounds like you're saying you realize you're not always in control.
You're not ever always in control, outside of maybe some pertinent things that come along and that interfere with your lifetime.
What would you say that you're most proud of or most thankful for?
Well, that I'm still here on earth, and I've been married for 66 years, and we've lived a pretty good lifetime.
Of everything you dealt with during World War II, from those first moments when you're engulfed in flames, to recovering in the hospital against all odds, to all that time on the stack in real hazardous situations on a destroyer, what was the hardest thing that you ever had to face in the Navy?
I don't think there was really any hardest thing. It was just that you had to make yourself enjoy your surroundings and your shipmates and how you got along with them and how your lifetime was going, wartime, and thought maybe of what you would do after the war was over and a few things like that. But it, you know, just an ordinary lifetime.
Have you run up against any misconceptions about Pearl Harbor that you want to set people straight on?
Well, it's very negligent of our commanding officers and whatever that disregarded the sink of the submarine off the harbor and the planes coming in from the north, and so 200 planes are supposed to be maybe 17, and just total disregard, and we really caught off guard, and we had to pay the price, and it cost a lot of lives, and it's gone, and it's over with, and we're back to normal, hopefully, and I hope we're alert, a little more alert now than we were then. But we'll just go on till our lifetime's over with, and that's the last survivor is gone, and that's going to be the end of that. So,
is there one part of that memorial that means the most to you? One aspect of being out there and taking it all in?
No, it's just for the public to see and a reminder to everybody what happened and how many lives was lost that day, and we've got to be very vigilant. It could happen again.
Well, we will hope and pray that it doesn't, and if it does, we'll hope and pray that there are men like you to answer the call the way you did.
Well, I'm sure there is, and there's a lot of people and a lot of lives that went through as much as I did and more probably, and still very vigilant and still very happy to be still around, and that's it.
Well, I just want to say one more thing, sir, and I'm sure a lot of people have said it to you over the years, but I want to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, not just once, but having the determination to get back in there and do it again. And thank you so much for telling us a story that really no one else could tell.
Well, thank you. Like I said, everybody had to be someplace.
That is truly how Don Stratton felt about his place in history. His body is now back in his native Red Cloud, Nebraska, after that funeral procession from Colorado Springs this week. Even the acting Secretary of the Navy, Thomas Modley, made it a point to be there.
It's an incredible honor for me to be here to celebrate this great American. And on behalf of the entire Department of the Navy, my wife Robin and I want to extend our deepest condolences to Don's family, Don's wife Elma, his son Randy, and Randy. Heroism comes in many forms, but your steadfast commitment to your father and his wishes to honor the man who saved his life and made yours possible qualifies in my eyes. Brother Willie, all of Don's grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Don said, God has a funny way of connecting people at the right place at the right time. Those were the words that he spoke with his fellow Arizona survivor, Lauren Bruner, after they wrote me in my office last year. As Don and Lauren described in their letter, quote, the ship was ablaze, our shipmates were dead, wounded, and fighting to live. We, along with four shipmates who were all wounded in various ways, to varying degrees, had no way out. Joe George, on board the USS Vestal, successfully threw us a line from which we had climbed 60 feet off the USS Arizona through the smoke and the strafing. I can't imagine the strength, perseverance, and determination it took for Don and his shipmates, already badly burned, to traverse that rope and reach the safety of the vessel's deck. Nor can I imagine the emotions that Don must have felt when he walked into my office, the office of the Undersecretary of the Navy, and saw the bell of the vessel sitting there. He saved us, Don wrote. He did the right thing. And in turn, Don Stratton did the right thing. Using that gift of life to continue serving his country and then returning home to raise a wonderful family and standing strong for his community, as you all know. But as he quietly melded back into the incredible society that he sacrificed to save, it never sat right with him that he didn't know the identity of the man who saved him that day. And when Don finally uncovered the identity of this savior at a 2001 reunion, 5 years after Joe George died, it definitely didn't sit right with him that this American hero had never been recognized. So it's no surprise that Don spent nearly the final two decades of his life fighting to ensure that the name of Joe George would not be lost to history, as it had been undiscovered to him for so many years. This man and his family would not be deterred. They contacted the Navy over and over. Sometimes we're not the most responsive organization. They reached out to congressmen, senators, the Secretary of Defense, and the President of the United States. And then finally, as Senator Gardner mentioned, in 2017, their efforts finally bore fruit. Only one decoration has been awarded at the Arizona Memorial, and it was the Bronze Star with the V for Valor, awarded posthumously to Chief Petty Officer Joe George. On behalf of a grateful nation, I want to thank Joe's daughter, Joanne, who's here somewhere, there she is, for accepting that award and for being here today. It should never have taken this long, but it was undoubtedly and unquestionably the right thing. And it would never have happened without the gratitude and selfless determination of Don Stratton. And that's the thing about this greatest of American generations. They aren't just great. They're really, really good. It's never about themselves. It's always about others, their fellow warriors, their families, their communities, the people unborn and unknown to them who would benefit from their sacrifice. They never lost sight of that North Star. As a generation and as individuals, they did the noblest of things. They gave themselves. This year marks the 75th anniversary of our victory over tyranny in World War II. Looking back, we have a tendency to think of that victory and the growth of our nation as being inevitable. But there was nothing inevitable about the decision of a boy named Don Stratton from Red Cloud, Nebraska, to raise his right hand and commit to serve on distant shores. There was also nothing inevitable about another boy named Joe George to turn down a football scholarship at the University of Georgia to enlist on a maintenance ship. This was their choice. And there was nothing inevitable about the courage, determination, and strength that would join their lives together across a sagging rope over a burning sea in one of the most beautiful places on Earth. There was nothing inevitable about Joe George's decision to toss a lifeline to a sinking ship instead of cutting loose that ship so it could be saved. And there was nothing inevitable about Don Stratton's courage and determination to make it across that sagging line up from its lowest point over that burning sea. This was their shared destiny. Pearl Harbor was also the low point on the rope of our nation, indeed for our world. It was dark. It was violent. But through that darkness, there was a voice. "Come on, kid," Joe George yelled to Don Stratton, and the only exchange they ever had. "You can do it." So hand over scorched hand, Don and his shipmates climbed up from that low point. They all made it across that treacherous span of burning fuel, exploding shrapnel, and strafing bullets onto safety because one American sailor believed in them, believed in himself, and made it so. What made the veterans of Pearl Harbor extraordinary was not that they survived, but that they fought back for each other. In the movie Tora, 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 there's a quote of Admiral Yamamoto saying, quote, "I fear all we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve." Don Stratton was the giant that was awoken that day. So was Joe George. So was every other Pearl Harbor survivor who returned to the fight. The sleeping giant was every sailor, Marine, soldier, airmen, Coast Guardsmen who answered the call without hesitation. The fate of humanity was in their hands, and they exceeded what was required to secure that fate. Everybody has to be someplace, Don used to say. When someone would thank him for his service, I was just where I was supposed to be. And because that generation was where they were supposed to be, we have the freedoms that we enjoy today. We must honor them all, because every day we enjoy the freedom they bequeathed to us is a tribute to their legacy. They represent everything that is good about our nation. They must stand at the center of our common memory and our understanding about the unique place we hold in the history of civilization. Today, I'm so grateful, not only to Don Stratton, the veteran, but to Don Stratton, the historian, the recorder of memory, who wrote a stirring memoir called All the Gallant Men. He said, "I wanted to save from the fire something of my memories of the Arizona so that younger generations and all the children to come after them can understand why Pearl Harbor mattered." Because Don took the time to reopen old wounds and revisit those difficult times, he will live on as an eloquent voice for all of his shipmates. He said, "We were ordinary men. What was extraordinary was the country we loved. We loved who she was, what she stood for. We loved her for what she meant to us and for what she had given to us." May God bless Don Stratton and keep him, bring comfort to the entire Stratton family as they mourn and celebrate his life, a life of honor to which we should all aspire as Americans. Thank you very much.
Acting Secretary of the Navy Thomas Modley speaking at the memorial service for Don Stratton. Again, you can watch that entire service online. I have the link for you at hometownheroesradio.com, in addition to a link for Don's best-selling book, All the Gallant Men. An incredible man, a humble hero, and as you heard the Secretary of the Navy say, an example to all of us. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, echoing that axiom that the life of Don Stratton underscores so powerfully: freedom is not free.